For our next awardee, Kate McLeod, we're going to dip into the core of Far West and Far West history in the second year of the Best of the West Awards, which was 15 years ago. Utah Phillips was awarded with that award. After years and after Utah's passing, Duncan Phillips began to a project to honor and collaborate and memorialize Utah and Utah's legacy. The producer of that album was Kate McLeod. Duncan and his wife came all the way from Salt Lake City today to be with us to honor Kate and that musical legacy. So I give you Duncan Phillips. We also were gifted today with two surprise testimonials for Kate, and I'd like to read those before Duncan steps up. The first one is from Molly O'Brien. Dear Kate, congratulations on being one of the best of the West. Of course, I've known for decades that you're one of the best, but I'm so happy that the rest of the world knows it now, too. I think I first met you at Telluride at the Bluegrass Festival in, I believe, 1995. Arf! A bunch of us were crowded into a condo playing music, eating and drinking and having fun, and if my memory serves me correctly, you sang Lark in the Morning. Wow, what a song, I thought. You slipped me a cassette, and the next thing I know, 6 months or so later, I'm recording that very same song along with one of your other masterpieces, Alaska, for my first solo Sugar Hill record. 24 years later, I'm happy to say that those two songs are still in regular rotation at my shows. They are classics. You wrote them, and man, I love singing them. While I'm partial to what you bring to that amazing band, Red Rock Rondo, and your CDs Constant Emotion and Deep in the Sound of Terra, everything you do is wonderful. I'm thankful that Far West had the smarts to honor you. Such beautiful music created by such a beautiful and kind person deserves to be heard by the world. Now will everyone please buy Kate a glass of champagne. Much love from Denver, Molly O'Brien. And last, but certainly not least, here's a wonderful letter from Lori Lewis for Kate. Lori wanted to be here today, but couldn't be. Kate, I am so happy that you're being recognized for your lifetime so far in music. Back in the mid-1990s, our dear mutual friend Charles Sawtell told me about this fiddler, guitarist, singer, songwriter, and environmentalist from Salt Lake City who I should really know. With the exception of the home base, that description could have been applied to me. So I was particularly curious and maybe a little bit jealous of this person who might be treading on my turf. But Charles was a wise man, and when he said something, I generally listened up. He was, of course, right. Since first hearing your music, I have happily counted myself among your fans. You have followed a singular path of melding your passions for music and the environment into a complete life's work and art. You write songs from your own heart and mind, and without, I think, an agenda of having other people sing them. But musicians, myself included, are drawn to them and just want to be voices to shape them too. That's the best. That deeply personal is universal. Few can match the way your voice floats over the melodies, though, or the sensitive and groovy way you accompany yourself on guitar and fiddle. Therefore, we have to approach the songs in our own ways and bend them to our own styles. This is the mark of both a sturdy song and a good tree, that you can bend it and it will not break. I am personally inspired by your work ethic, which comes from a vision of excellence in all that you do, whether it's putting the bow to the violin or putting the violin to paper. You travel your own path of beauty, but leave a trail for us to follow, for which we are forever grateful. You are definitely one of the best of the West, and so deserving of this honor from your peers. I wish I could be there to celebrate with you. Lori Lewis. And now, Duncan Phillips, please welcome him.
Hello, everyone. First off, thank you to the sound engineers, videographers. Thank you to Mother Hannah and Joel Far West for inviting me here to present Kate with this award. It's my first time to Far West. I've been to the International in Kansas City. It's my first time out here to the Far West, and thank you very much for the invitation and making it possible to come out on short notice. Oh, thank you. Good night. So, on a personal note, when a parent passes away, what kids tend to inherit is money, land, cars, some of the material trappings of the world. But when my father passed away, what I inherited, what we all inherited together, was the songs, the stories of people and places, along with my father's old Guild guitar. And despite road managing my father for the last 8 years of his life, I didn't play music. I didn't play guitar, sing, or perform. And my father had always wanted me to take up the trade, but I just would never do it. And after his death in 2008, and I got back to my home in Salt Lake City, I was trying to figure out a new path, how to utilize my inheritance. And Kate had a song circle, and she knew I was going to take up the family trade. And she has a song circle where they'd come once a month and work on material that is a really hard song circle to crack. And Kate invited, despite my lack of experience, Kate invited me in to the song circle to work on the craft and take up my father's trade. And so I went to my very first song circle, barely knowing how to play guitar, and I had taken a poem that I had written for my father and turned it into a song called Long Gone. And I played it for them there. You all know firsthand, the hardest place to play is in front of a bunch of really talented musicians, right? So you can imagine how nervous I was. But from those song circle meetings came the idea to make a tribute album for my father, Utah Phillips. All musicians from the state of Utah, though, which was a hard sell. We'd tell people what we were going to do, and they're like, there's going to be three songs on there? There's musicians in Utah? I promise you, we had really good quality musicians in Utah. So we set about our project. And we did a lot of fundraising. One of our fundraising trips, we went down to Oakland, to Berkeley, actually, to do a fundraising event that somebody had set up at a nursing home. And we drove down from Salt Lake City with a couple friends, and we went to the nursing home to set up for the event and walked in, and there was a bingo match going on in the hall we were supposed to perform on. It was the Johnson family bingo night, and they had booked the hall for the wrong night for us to perform. So we get to the hall, and I was kind of dejected, and I was sitting in the hallway trying to figure out what we're going to do. We're not going to go in there and bust up somebody's bingo game and set up for a folk concert, right? So Kate took the matters into her own hands, and she negotiated a deal with the Johnson family where they put the partition down the middle of the hall and had the bingo on one side, and we had our folk concert on the other side. And you could be in she was in the heart of, like, Nevada Jane talking about how Big Bill Haywood was carrying his bride on his shoulders, and he'd hear, B-29, bingo, and that's kind of how the show went for the whole time. And so from there, the CD was finally made and was nominated the Independent Music Awards for Best Tribute Album. It's really a quality product that Kate helped me put out. And from there, I was lucky enough to, people would let me come do shows across the country, tribute shows for my father. And one month, we were invited to come play at Cafe Alina's. And we drove across the country and had a couple other shows booked. One was, I think, at the Turning Point. And we drove all the way across the United States met our friend Walter Parks, who's Richie Havens' guitar player, went up to the Turning Point to play our show, and there were two people in the audience. We drove across, you can relate to this, right? I think that night we either split $8 between the two of us, three of us, or we got $8 each, I can't remember. But it was one of my favorite shows because it was such a small place and we were there with such good friends on stage and the people in the audience, and we made it work. It was really wonderful. It was one of my best memories with Kate. And I'll keep this short. Kate, my father always said being likable will take you farther than talent. But Kate is both likable and talented. And I would like to take this moment to present this award, Best of the West, to my good friend Kate McLeod.
I'm laughing so hard already. Do you see some resemblance between Duncan and his dad there? Also, you notice that he doesn't have any notes because, like his daddy, he's a really good storyteller, right? Oh, well. Hello, everyone. I'm really happy to be here, obviously. I'm smiling. I got a big grin on my face. And I brought some notes with me, see if I can get through them or not. A couple of years ago, I was on a river trip down the Green River in Utah. Well, actually, I was the music on the river trip. I was hired. I just want to see if I can get this to... I was hired to be music for this river trip, and I wrote a song every day on a boat, and then I'd sing the song at night for the folks around the circle of chairs by the river. And after a few nights of sharing my new music with people, a man said to me, "Wow, you're actually really good. Before this, I thought that you were just a folk singer." It's really a true story. But, you know, since then, I felt strangely acknowledged by that left-handed compliment, and I'm very proud to be a folk singer. I'm originally from Washington, D.C., but I've resided in Salt Lake City, Utah, since 1979 when I went to study violin making at the Violin Making School of America. And I've lived there ever since. I've had a long path since I started playing the violin when I was six. And I have celebrated over 50 years of playing that instrument. It's the longest relationship in my life. And I've been writing songs since I was a teenager. So one of my earliest memories of my music education was when my first violin teacher put a curse on me. She said, she leaned over me. I was this big. She was this amazing woman with a shock of Einstein kind of hair. And she would lean over me and tell me things. And one day she leaned over me and she said, "You may try to do other things, but you're a musician." So it's been like that ever since. And I actually have really tried to do other things. For many years, I studied violin making. I thought I could just be on the sidelines. And I studied architectural drafting and fine arts. And that all led me to work at the Violin Making School for a long time. And I worked in the preservation of historic buildings part-time, and all along all that I was raising three children. And it wasn't until after I had had my children, I'd done that for a long time and they were getting older, that I decided I was going to commit myself to being a full-time musician because I couldn't put it down long enough to make them anymore. So I decided that, and everyone here in this room knows how hard it is to be a professional musician. I really had a family of federal government workers and scientists and doctors, and I had a hard time justifying the hand-to-mouth living, and was reluctant to follow that journey. But the truth is, I think I knew from a very young age that the music was it for me, and it was always bubbling up. And of course, our work has to be tempered with the needs of the world, and in this reality begins that dance between the musician and the world. I believe that in some ways, for our generation, we grew up with a very highly commercialized music business, and it's been hard to navigate that, as Art was finally humorously reminding us of how many strange things go on in that. But with the evolution of our music business shifting in uncertain ways, we really have to examine how our musician world works within the greater world. Folk music particularly, I think, is up against great odds because we're underestimated, as you heard in the original opening remark. And we're often underpaid. Yet we know, as folk musicians, that folk music is the seed and the predecessor of all the popular music. Personally, my goals are not to chase fame. I've never felt that that was important. And I've always felt as though my work with others is always equal to anything I do for my own work. It's about making a difference and implementing our skills for the greater betterment of the world. And we're all born with a musical instrument inside of our body, and which is confirmation enough for me to know how important it really is. In my opinion, one of my great mentors, I didn't never met him, but Johann Sebastian Bach, he had it right. He was an organist for court and for churches, and he dedicated all of his work to God, and he had a lot of kids. He had a bunch of kids, and he wrote music for his wife, Anna Magdalena, to sing in the church. She wasn't really allowed to sing in the church, but he would sneak her in, and they sang music together. Oh, in yesterday's workshop, there was a question about influences, and I had to think about that for about 24 hours, because I think about all the music, but really, I think of mentors such as Janis Joplin and Annie Oakley. She's one of my mentors. Never met her. And Morticia from the Addams Family. Yeah. I realize that she's not a real person, but she is one of my mentors. Annie Oakley specifically, she was raised Quaker. I'm a Quaker. I've been a Quaker for a long, long, long time. But Annie Oakley became so good at sharpshooting because she had to go and fend for hunting for the family. Their father had died, and she was the oldest of a large family. She got so good at sharpshooting that she could beat anyone. And she eventually married a man who she beat sharpshooting. But one of the things I love about her story was that she amassed a large fortune, and what she did with it was to put about 20 or so women through college. So, you know, it was really, these are the kind of people that I go, wow, I'd like to be able to do that. If I could make any money at music, I'd be putting women through college. When my children were babies, they crawled around the house while the guitar and the fiddle stood upright in the playpen, because I thought that the babies should run free and explore and that the instruments should not get knocked over. So. It was during those years as a stay-at-home mom that I wrote some of my most recorded songs so far. And it was when other people began singing my songs and recording them that I began to understand deeply the relationship between people looking for inspiration through music and those who create music. And this is the dance between the music and the world, and it always involves others. From reading the press release about my selection for this award, I see part of my life written before me, and I hope that you go and read the press release. I'm not going to reiterate everything that's in there. It's on the Far West website, and it lists a lot of the things I've been involved with. Especially dear to my heart is the environmental activism I do, peace activism, and work with nonprofit organizations. And you'll hear more about these things when I do the workshop later this afternoon. I tend to think of my career, my work, in a long arc of time and a big picture in mind. And I do focus on organization of business, but I have to acknowledge that almost all the good things that have ever happened to me are from something that someone else did. They took the time to facilitate something through communications and by sharing my music with other people. And I want to thank all the individuals who have supported me, and through donations and familial support and my friends, even my friends that came from Salt Lake today. And that was a real shock to me, the Molly's and Laurie's testimony. I was crying. So I'd like to share with you right now some music. We're going to have a few things up here going on. So I want to introduce you to the first very special guest. This guitar is as big as I am. But I've always loved this guitar, so since he was a recipient of this award, we get to, again, hear this amazing guitar. I've studied Celtic music and American old time and bluegrass and everything I could get my hands on, everything the fiddle could do, I've wanted to do, and I've used the guitar in many ways as a utilitarian thing for songwriting, but I would do crazy things now and then, like I would enter flat picking guitar contests at festivals, especially if there were no women signed up. I got third place once at Telluride on flat picking, and there were some very upset guys who knew that I had not put in my time on the flat picking. But anyway, it's interesting that Lori and Molly gave it testimonials about some of my songs. So I'm going to sing a song that both of them recorded, and it's one of my older songs, and people still sing it, and they sing it in Europe and in bluegrass bands. And so I'm going to give you my version of it on Utah Phillips' guitar. This is called Lark in the Morning. Losing the time, letting it go free. Lark in the morning, another day before me. I know that your love wasn't born on a promise for me. Lark in the morning, let it go free. But my eyes take me back to the scene of love. I grow so weary with no word from a lover. Lark in the morning, another day before me. And your love is gone, most likely to some other. Lark in the morning, let it go free. But my eyes take me back to the scene of love. My eyes take me back. Thank you. And I see no others. My nights are no more fun. Lark in the morning, another day before me. And I'm making peace with losing a loved one. Lark in the morning, let it go free. But my eyes, my eyes, take me back to the scene of love. My eyes. Well, I always think that you have to lose yourself in your work in order to really sink deeply, and that to me is a lot of definitions, and I'm going to talk to you about one of the definitions that I believe that really means, and that is to certainly not think about yourself and think about what other people need and what you can bring to what other people are doing. And I spend a lot of my time teaching workshops and helping others develop themselves. And I want to introduce you to a friend of mine that we brought into town just for this. I want you to welcome Mr. Eddie Lowry up to the stage. I met Eddie through a project that I worked on. I donated many, many hours to helping musicians in that are involved with the Innocence Network Project. The Innocence Project. They used to call it the Network, and now it's only Project. I have to remember this. And I spent time putting together musicians who had been in prison under wrongful convictions. And some of them had been in prison for a very long time, and some of them learned how to play music while they were there. And I met Eddie and a bunch of other guys, and we put together this band. There he is. We put together a band of these guys, and it's called the Exoneree Band. And we did some conferences, and I produced the concerts at the conferences, and we did some other concerts out of conferences. And so we're going to sing a song of Eddie's for you. Eddie learned to play the guitar while in prison. So when I heard about these guys, I said, oh, man, this is just such an interesting story. And I heard some of their songs. I said, I really want to help out. So I was sort of got to see Eddie kind of find himself a little bit in all this. And they still go off and play. They're playing all the time without me. They don't need me anymore. We also have another special guest who's going to join on stage, Celia Chavez. She's been here at the conference, and we found her, and I always search out other musicians everywhere I go to try to find some people to play with. And I particularly like to play with boron players and percussionists of all kinds, and she's here with Petty Chavez. So you've probably seen her at the exhibit hall and things.
Soaring high into the sky, knowing everything will turn out right.
They held me down, it wasn't right,
but I still
won that fight.
Rusty,
you won that fight.
I'm always yearning for a sense of belonging, a sense of that good life. I'm never feeling sorry, I'm never looking back. I'm just gonna let it all drift away.
They held me down, it wasn't right.
I am an exoneree. I was wrongfully convicted for 21 years of a crime I never committed. I was exonerated through DNA testing and proven totally innocent. I had my record expunged with the help of the New York Innocence Project and Barry Scheck. So every year, Barry Scheck and the New York Innocence Project hold a conference. And this one year in Cincinnati, Ohio, they asked the exonerees if they would like to do a talent show. So, of course, we said yes, and some of us got together, and I was going to do like a little solo act. Never played in front of anybody before, so I was really nervous. But five exonerees, came together, and we decided to back each other up. And through that, the exoneree band was born. Kate was there, and she was helping us along. And when you take men who had been in prison for 20, 25, and 30 years, technology passes you by, life passes you by, and you don't know what direction to go. And Kate volunteered her time to guide us and direct us and turn us into the band we are today. This is what volunteering your time and your talent can do for somebody like us. And we're so grateful that Kate was in our life at that time. Perfect time. And she's set up shows in Utah, Washington, and different other places before we parted ways. And we're still performing today. And I'd just like to thank you for being here. And I'd like to thank Kate for winning this award. And it's a really honor to be here with her.
All right, we got one more piece of music for you to close the evening with, afternoon with. I still keep thinking I'm always performing in the evening. Yeah, thanks, Eddie, and thanks for this little reunion for Eddie and I haven't seen each other for a long time. But we're going to close with a fiddle song. This actually is a special fiddle to me. It's built by Daryl Anger. He built two of them. I have one. It's kind of exciting. And Celia is going to join me here. And this is a song that I sing with my fiddle. And I really am so thankful. I want to thank the whole organization for paying attention to my submission and that my friend Jeanette turned in. You see what I mean? People do stuff. I was just shocked when they called. Oh, I have to tell you, when Steve called me to tell me I was going to get this award, he kept calling me, and I didn't call back because I was at a silent retreat. And I finally noticed, like, I got to call him back because he's going to think I don't care, you know? So I finally called him back, and I said, I can't believe how excited I am. I can't scream. I'm at a silent retreat. So that's how that went down. So anyway, we're going to do this tune, and then we're going to have a great afternoon and have a great rest of the conference. And thank you very much, especially the board members and all you volunteers. So.
For the people who came before me, and I'll take a step with the left foot, and I'll take a step with the right foot, and every step that I do take are for my soul to keep, and I'll take a step with the left foot, and I'll take a step with the right foot. That I do take for the people who coming after me. I've heard the people who are coming after me. I've heard the people who are coming after me.
Thank you very much.